We always think that we are guaranteed something in this life, but there is nothing that we're guaranteed. There's nothing that everybody's guaranteed.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates. Welcome back to the show, everybody. If you can hear anything in the background, and by anything, I mean a man making weird comments while playing a video game, please ignore that. It is my fiance. It's just me today, just Brooke, and I just thought for this episode that I would talk a little bit solely about just kind of what's been going on in my life and what I'm trying to learn from it, how I'm trying to grow from it. I'm sure a lot of people this year feel as if 2020 has taught them something or many somethings that my dog is literally trying so hard to get to my dinner that's beside me. I feel like a lot of people have had a lot of shit happen to them this year, just like one thing after another. And it seems like right when you think you've hit your limit, that there's nothing else that this year could surprise you with, you get slapped with something else. So I know there's only a month or so left of this year, but I am keeping my fingers crossed that I have experienced the worst that this year has to give me. And I just sincerely, like, I couldn't take another thing this year. I can't take another death. I can't take losing another animal. I can't take a lot. I'm not gonna cry. I can't take a whole lot more than this year has dealt me. And I know I speak for a lot of people when I say that. I was listening to a podcast earlier this evening when I was washing my hair in the shower. That's kind of like when I like to listen to podcasts lately, because for some reason I can't listen to them while I work anymore. I just, like, I'm a copywriter, so, like, I really just got to focus on what I'm writing, and I can't have people in my ear jabbering about whatever while I'm writing. But I was listening to the Atta Girl podcast. If you haven't listened to that, you should definitely check out the Girls Girls Media podcast. It's like five different shows and all of the same women speak on them. But the episode was about gratitude. And, you know, she said something about sometimes people might find themselves unable to keep up with a gratitude journal, because it's just sometimes it's too much. Sometimes it is literally just so annoying to think about picking up a journal, picking up a pen, and sitting down and forcing yourself to physically write each letter of each word, of each bullet point, of whatever you're grateful for that day. It's so irritating. And I fully resonated with that. And her suggestion instead was, you know, just to, while you're taking a shower, maybe while you're making dinner, maybe while you're driving to work, maybe while you're driving to the grocery store, if that's the only place you go, just think in your head, or just, like, say out loud something you're grateful for. So I want to take the time right now to list five things that I'm grateful for. I am grateful for my physical health. I, as far as I know, have not had COVID this year so far. I feel very grateful for that. I haven't even had a cold this year. I haven't had the flu. I haven't had a sinus infection. And I used to get those constantly. I used to always get 4 sinus infections a year. before I worked from home 2 years ago. So I truly just feel like not working around people has really just decreased the amount of times a year I get sick. Which, I mean, you know, my immune system could seriously be lowered. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. But I am grateful for my physical health and that I have been fortunate enough to not have any type of ailment this year. I'm so sorry if you can hear Steven in the background. I asked him to be quiet, but, like, I just feel like when a dude is, like, in the zone playing a game, they, like, don't realize how freaking loud they are, and, like, he's still going. They don't realize how loud they are, and they also, I mean, he doesn't realize how thin the walls in this house are. But anyways, the second thing that I am grateful for is the health of my pets. I didn't say anything about this on the last episode. I actually haven't said, I don't know, I've posted about it, but if you don't follow me on Instagram, then you won't know a lot about my personal life, because obviously I don't cram everything about my life into the podcast. There's little to no personal information, really, about me or Rose on this podcast at all. But anyways, we got a puppy. I won't go down the story of exactly how this came to be, but to make a long story short, I know that Effie sent this puppy into our lives. And I know that because of a dream that I had with the puppy in it the day before we found the puppy, and I'm so grateful for that dog. We got her when she was 9 weeks old. She's now 12 weeks. She is so smart. She's the same kind of dog that Effie was, a long-haired miniature dachshund. And there will be nothing, like nothing in this world will ever diminish my grief over losing Effie. Literally nothing will ever take away how bad it feels, and I'm going to mourn probably until the day I die for that dog. But with that being said, I do not regret the decision to welcome a new soul, or excuse me, rather a familiar soul, because I definitely feel like part of Effie is in this puppy, into our lives. I don't regret that at all. And I'm really grateful that she is healthy, and I'm grateful that our cats are healthy, and I'm grateful that our, you know, recently just turned 1-year-old puppy, Harley, is healthy. I'm very, very grateful for that. So, I mean, you know, I'm really just going down this list in case anybody out there is like, I don't know how to make a gratitude list. I don't know how to be, you know, I don't know how to, what things are stupid to put on a gratitude list. The answer is nothing. You can put anything you want on a gratitude list. It, like, literally doesn't matter. It could be, I'm glad I woke up today, or I'm grateful that I didn't fall down the stairs on my way to work. Like, literally anything. It's the small things, people. Like, let's get our serotonin where we can. Speaking of serotonin, the third thing I'm grateful for is the fact that this year I was able to purchase a huge Christmas tree. Well, I won't say huge. It's not like 12 foot tall or anything, but, like, it's 7 foot tall. It's the first Christmas tree that I have ever gone out purposefully and, like, purchased, and it's not, like, real or anything. I've never had a real Christmas tree of my own, mainly because they just lose their pine needles really quickly if you get them this early. And I mean, I'm trying to get my serotonin where I can. So I really wanted a tree up this year as early as possible. I wanted to put it up the day after Halloween, but I didn't. Yeah, I went out to Target. I got a 7 foot tall unlit Christmas tree, and I'm really happy about that. And so, I'm grateful that I have the money to do that. You know, there was a time a few years ago when going to the store and dropping money like that on
something as frivolous as holiday decorations would have really been the difference between me being able to eat or not. And, you know, I'm in a place in my life and in my job. I don't want to say career because I don't really understand. I don't think that's my career. I'm in a place in my life where I'm financially stable enough to be able to do something like that and it not really hurt me or keep me from eating. That's the fourth thing that I'm grateful for is my financial stability through COVID. I have been very lucky during this to not have been out of work. I have not had to take any kind of pay cut. I mean, I have had friends who've had to take a pay cut this year and I have not. So I'm very grateful for that. And the last thing that I'm grateful for is the fact that I'm finally, after almost a decade of suffering and struggling with depression, I have finally taken the right steps to getting help. It used to be when I would have what I would refer to as a major depressive episode, you know, where I'd be like very listless, no interest in doing anything I love, just wanted to sleep all day, crying a lot, getting angry a lot. When it would pass, as I'm sure many of you who deal with major depressive disorder, when it would pass, when I was going through it, I'd be like, I need help because I want to kill myself. I don't want to be here. I would be like, I'm going to take the steps and I'm going to go to a therapist and I'm going to get this sorted out. And I want to fight this without medication and I want to do this and I want to, like, when it would pass after about 2 weeks or so, and I would kind of forget what triggered it in the first place, I would tell myself that I didn't need to see a therapist. Save your money, you know? Like, there's other things you could spend your money on. You have bills. You have debt. And earlier this week, I came out of a depressive episode that has lasted for, I mean, cognitively, like, if we're going to be serious, it's probably been months, but it has been progressively worse in October and early November, mainly because of Effie dying. But when I came out of it, Stephen helped me to make an appointment at the clinic that he actually sees his doctor through. And I'm very grateful that for the first time, I took the initiative to actually get help. I had a therapist in college, and I had this therapist when I was in what turned into a disgustingly angry, mean, hateful relationship. I saw that therapist for a while, and then being a college student, you know, living on a waitress's budget, I couldn't keep seeing her. I couldn't afford to see her, you know, because therapy is not cheap. But during COVID, I feel like, you know, with telehealth, prices have changed, and I want to take full advantage of that while I can. I tried to go through BetterHelp. I don't know if any of you guys have tried BetterHelp. I even paid the first month, and within 2 minutes, I regretted my decision. And maybe I shouldn't have, like, trusted everything I read online, but a majority of what I was reading online about BetterHelp, people were saying, like, you know, I hate that I get these, like, canned responses from what is supposed to be a human being, but it just sounds like a robot. Like, they're not helpful. They just regurgitate what you say back to you. And, you know, yeah, it's cheaper, but I should have just gone to an actual therapist. I'm not renewing my subscription. So I got my money back. Immediately got my money back. And I have my first appointment on November 30th with a psychotherapist, and eventually I will start seeing a psychiatrist because I don't want to continue fighting this by myself if there's a possibility that an antidepressant medication might work. And that's a really difficult thing for me to come to terms with because I have for years, I mean, years, I have been terrified. I'm still am terrified. I've been so scared of taking medication because I was like, I don't want any chemicals, you know, messing with the makeup of my brain. I just like, why should I feel like I have to take medication to fix myself? Why, you know, and I always just thought I can fight this. I can write. Writing's my therapy. I can do this. I can do that. I can have a creative outlet and I'll be fine. And, you know, this is the first time in my life where it's the first time in a long time that I have just not had any motivation to do anything. Anything. I don't want to read. It is a struggle for me on Sundays to get out of bed and sit down and record this podcast, even though, you know, Rose is one of my best friends in the world and we love talking to each other. And we really like depend on that interaction with each other because she's, you know, in Denver and I'm in Richmond, Virginia. We both struggle hard, and that is saying something when you can't even get yourself to get out of bed when the sun is just shining through your window. You can't even make yourself do something you enjoy. That's what hurts the most. I thought before that I knew what true depression felt like. And I know that it varies. You might go a few months just kind of being sad, but you can kind of alleviate it by seeing your friends or binge watching something or whatever. But when you get so miserable that you burst into tears over something as small as coffee, like burning your tongue, or you get pissed off and you just want to shove everything off your desk because you cannot find the energy to work, or you feel like a huge fucking failure because you worked so hard to create this community on YouTube. Yes, I'm talking about myself. And now for 2 months, you have not picked up your camera. It makes me feel so bad about myself. And more than anything, I want to get better. I have a lot in my life to be grateful for. A lot that I did not have 5 years ago. A lot that I didn't even have, you know, three years ago. And I want to be able to enjoy that. I want to be able to wake up on the weekends and not be angry at myself for not producing something of value. I want to not think about every single little detail of every single thing that I do. It is exhausting, and this is just so much more than seasonal affective disorder. Last year I felt like I just had like a really bad case of that, and it's funnily enough, it's called like SAD, like SAD, seasonal affective disorder. I thought, you know, like I just need to make sure that I'm waking up early and getting enough sunlight, and it's not all about that. I think that I need to see a therapist to talk about my father dying when I was 16. I spoke with a therapist about that in college, but I feel like I glazed over it. I didn't go into detail. I didn't, because I just didn't know where to start. And I need to talk with a therapist about, you know, my disconnect from my family I'm not close with any of my family members. I've always wanted to have a closer relationship with my siblings, and we're all different ages, and, you know, we all work, and I've kind of just always felt like they're connected, but I'm not connected with them. And it doesn't help that we don't live in the same cities, and it just sucks. And, like, I need to definitely speak with someone about my resentment toward my biological mother that I literally have not spoken to for, like, 7 years. And I need to figure out what it is inside of me that can't let go of the relationship trauma that I went through 5 years ago, because I don't feel like I am angry anymore about it, but there's still something about it that my body, like, won't let go. And, you know, like that book, The Body Keeps the Score. Your physical body absolutely keeps a score of all of the traumatic, stressful events that have ever taken place in your life. And people have died from stress, because stress can cause cancer. It can cause tons of fucking conditions. And I don't want to bring anything like that on myself. So my dog's so dramatic in the background. So I'm getting help. And I'm trying to savor every moment where I feel what I call lucid. Every moment where I am able to carry on a text conversation with my best friends without feeling like I just want to close out of the screen and not respond. I'm trying to... These cats are ridiculous. To be grateful for the few pages of my book that I can, you know, make myself read every night. I'm just trying to notice every moment that I am maybe not exactly happy, but functioning. And I've been keeping a note in my phone to keep track of my moods, and because I know that, you know, like right now I'm in a normal period where I think that the episode has passed, and that's a major sign of major depressive disorder, and I'm aware of that. I don't want to forget how fucking horrible I felt just last week. I don't want to pretend that didn't happen, because that just starts the cycle over. It sucks to think that, you know, for a while this is probably going to be pretty expensive, depending on what my insurance will or will not cover, but I'm willing to front that cost because I need help, and I fully believe that it is time for me to consider medication, even if it's just temporary, to get my head back on straight, because I feel like life is just fucking passing me by. And obviously, you know, 2020, life just feels like it's fucking passing everybody by this year, because we can't do what we want to do. We can't see the people we want to see. So I know that I'm not alone in that, but when Effie died, Steven and I kind of took from that a lesson. You know, I mean, anytime somebody or something dies, it makes you really take a look at how fragile and precious and short life is. And we promised ourselves that we were going to actively try every day, and especially on the weekends when my depression is at its fucking peak, to do something with ourselves, even if it means just getting out of the house for an hour or two. And so we've been taking the puppy, Mia, and Harley to this gorgeous park, about 10 minutes down the road. And that has helped me so much. I love autumn leaves. I love the colors. That's why I chose autumn for our wedding. And it doesn't seem like a lot, you know, just driving a few minutes down the road to take your dogs on a walk, but it's doing something. It helps me. It's not producing content, it's not recording an episode, but it is helping me feel like I did something. We told ourselves that we were going to book Airbnbs more regularly, and we were gonna, you know, travel places just the two of us with our dogs and just kind of just get out and, you know, take advantage of what life has to offer while we're young. And, you know, because one day we won't be able to do this. Like, one day we're gonna have kids and life is gonna be so much busier, and I'm gonna have so much more to take care of. And there are so many places that I wanted to go and take both of our dogs with us because they go everywhere with us. And I wanted to take Effie to the beach, and I never got to. And it's just things like that that make you know, losing her just made me realize like there are so many things in this world that they only haven't happened yet because I have been too like sad or too tired or too something to just pick up my phone and book a room or book an Airbnb or like book a tour or whatever, thinking that I will have more time to do it, thinking that it'll be there tomorrow. Put it on your to-do list, Brooke. Like it'll be there next week. That's the problem, is we always think we got more time than we actually have. And we don't. You know, I could die tomorrow, you could die tomorrow, not to freak you out, but you definitely could. We always think that we are guaranteed something in this life, but there is nothing that we're guaranteed. There's nothing that everybody's guaranteed. Some people are not even guaranteed, you know, air. And you're not guaranteed anything. So that's why it's important to be grateful when you can. And I want to be able to be more grateful and not live in a gray cloud of fucking depression and anxiety. And I'm tired of hurting. And if you're tired of hurting as well, I really, really suggest that you pick up the phone today and make the calls that you need to make. I know that they're scary. Sometimes they might be a little bit embarrassing, but 99.9% of the time they need to happen. And we can't keep pushing off getting help because you might get to a point one day where you are stuck in a really long, grueling, awful, depressive rut, and it lasts and it lasts and it lasts, and you forget what it feels like to feel good. And then it's too late. And we don't want to get there. You and I don't want to be there. So stop thinking that, you know, tomorrow is just another day, and you have 24 hours tomorrow to handle your mental health because you might not. That got dark. I miss Rose. Oh man. But yeah, that is where I am at. I wasn't gonna record today because it's Tuesday night. We didn't record Sunday. Some more stuff is going on, and I'll let Rose talk about that if she wants one day, but yeah, I felt like I needed to sit down while I was in my lucid state and talk a little bit about exactly how I'm feeling, what's going on, what's been going through my mind, and what I'm grateful for. And so
With that being said, I'm gonna cut this episode off here and just, as always, if any of you need help with anything, if you want someone to hold your hand through the first process or the first steps of the process of getting an appointment with a therapist, because it can be daunting. I mean, the insurance and everything, that is what stops a lot of people. It's hard. Hit me up. I always put the Instagram for the podcast in the description box. It's at the Witchful Thinking Podcast. And my personal Instagram is at Lil Witch with 3 H's at the end. So if you feel so inclined to reach out, by all means, do so. Because I have been where you are, and I am where you are, and there is a good chance that both of us feel like our boats have 1,000 holes in it. So, I'm getting really tired, and honestly, I think I'm going to go make some gingerbread cookies before I go to bed. So, with that being said, this is Brooke signing off. I love you guys. Have as great of a week as you can possibly have, and we will talk to you when we talk to you.